You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome, everyone, to Breaking Big Blue. I'm your host, Jordan Ron, on ESPN. ESPN.com Giants reporter, and this is the On to the Draft episode. We're going to be talking to the great Chris Canty. You know him well, the host of ESPN's Unsportsmanlike. You see him on First Take, former Giant, big part of that 2011 defensive line. He's going to give you his insight on the Brian Burns trade, I'm sure, right? He knows a little something about it, playing on good defensive lines. And also, we're going to talk about that what is now a very key number 4 pick in the draft. That's right, number 4. But we'll get to that in a bit. Here's really where we're at with the draft, right? Because we're moving on from free agency now. Just, you know, guys dribbling in every once in a while. Like Isaiah Hodgins came back recently. Matt Nelson was signed from the Lions as more offensive tackle depth. But now the main attention is on the draft, especially with pro days going on, private workouts. And the Giants, by the way, I believe are going to be giving private workouts to most, if not all, I wouldn't say all, most of the top quarterbacks in the draft, which brings us to the question that hangs over the Giants right now and most of the fan base. It's, what do we do in the draft, right? Because they're sitting there at number 6. Remember those wins at the end of the season? Put them at 6 instead of potentially higher. There's a perceived top 3 quarterbacks. It's Caleb Williams. It's Drake May. It's Jaden Daniels. And I've already told you, dating back to the combine from talking to people, my sense is, and I know the Giants like him and are high on him, is that Drake May might be the guy that they viewed as, okay, this is a guy we can get. He makes sense for us. He would sit for a year here, probably behind Daniel Jones. We'll see how this season goes. We'll give Daniel Jones one more chance, and we'll move forward from there. Now, not saying they don't like the other guys. Jaden Daniels, somebody told me the other day, they thought Jaden Daniels was the best fit for Brian Daboll's offense. But nobody's telling us directly, saying, we love this guy. You know, Brian Daboll and Joe Shane aren't telling anyone. And I'll talk about this a little bit later on, about the fake info people think comes out when it comes to the draft. But anyway, the Giants, it's essentially, okay, do they get a quarterback? They need a future quarterback, right? They can't trust Daniel Jones with his injuries. Or do they stay put and take a wide receiver, right? Rome Odunze, Malik Nabers, and maybe Marvin Harrison Jr. even gets there. Because the reality is, and I asked around about this, the top 3 picks do not seem available, right? At least now. They're not available. The Bears are taking a quarterback. The Commanders are taking a quarterback. The number 3 pick is the one, okay, maybe the Patriots don't take a quarterback. And I know there was a little buzz out there this week, and I started asking around at the Giants tried to trade up to number 3, and it was squashed hard. There's nothing going on right now. Right now, they're not close to making a move for number 3, number 4. That was put to rest, right? This is silly season right now. That's what that is. So the Giants are sitting there at 6, and they're kind of looking at it, oh, you know what? We might be stuck at 6, because even those top 3 quarterbacks that I named, number 4 on the list is J.J. McCarthy, the Michigan quarterback. And we just saw the Minnesota Vikings load up. They got a second first-round pick. They have their roster set up where they're going to go and get a quarterback. Who? Where? We don't know. But the belief is they're gearing up to make a move up. And if the top 3 aren't available, the next spot is number 4 for the Arizona Cardinals. And they're looking to sell that pick. So the Giants have competition. At least the Vikings. We didn't even bring up the Raiders yet. The Raiders also are heavily on the lookout for a quarterback. What are they willing to do? So ultimately, I mean, the Giants only have 6 picks. So here, listen to this. After free agency, after the trade for Burns, after realizing the top 3 picks probably aren't going to be available, and then it might even cost us capital move up to 4 for J.J. McCarthy, I think the Giants realize this. It is now more likely Now, it depends how the quarterbacks play out up top, of course. What if Drake May is sitting there available at pick four? That changes the situation completely. But I think right now, the way free agency played out, it's more likely that the Giants trade down than trade up because they only have 6 picks in this draft. Trading up, I mean, gives them even less draft capital. Or what, you giving up a future first-round pick? Personally, I don't think a future second-round pick is going to be enough, even with the number 6 overall pick, especially if there's competition. So I think there's a better chance they move down. Maybe they like one of these other quarterbacks, right? Maybe they like Bo Nix or Michael Penix. And they think, okay, why don't we move down, collect more draft capital? We could get these guys a little later in the first round. Move back into the back end of the first round, whatever it may be. I think that has now become more likely than the Giants trading up in this draft. A, because we don't even know what's really available. Probably nothing besides pick 4. And 2, because there is now major competition to move up in this draft for a potential top quarterback. And remember, I said this on the podcast several weeks back. I spoke to a general manager in the league, and he told me, coming out of the combine, there are 4 top 10 quarterbacks. He thought this was a slam dunk. J.J. McCarthy is going to get drafted in the top 10. And I know people are stuck on, he's getting overdrafted. He's not a top guy. Why? Because he wasn't considered a top guy the whole year. If he entered this season, considered a top quarterback for the draft, and he came in with the Drake May reputation, and they won the national championship, would anybody be saying these things about J.J. McCarthy? No. Instead of harping on the negative about him, you'd be pointing out the positives because there's a lot of positive traits that he has. Now, we don't know. This is the big question with J.J. McCarthy. We don't know if he can carry the load, if he's a force multiplier, if he's a guy that can make everybody better and carry a team because he wasn't asked to really do it much at Michigan. Now, I put it out there. I put a poll. I said, what should the Giants do at the top of the draft? It's a quarterback, wide receiver, and other. Another probably, for the most part, when people say that is going to be offensive line. It only got 6% of the vote. Joe Alt or Olafoshanu or from the Penn State offensive lineman. Joe Alt is the Notre Dame tackle. And there's also the Washington State tackle, whatever. But the Giants already have a huge investment in offensive tackle, right? They used 2 top 10 picks in the last, 4 or 5 years on offensive tackles. They paid Andrew Thomas huge money. They're invested in Evan Neal. They signed Jermaine Illuminor. Like, it would be a surprise to me if they went offensive tackle. It really would. If that's the best available player and somebody wanted that, that's another trade-down situation for the Giants. Deep wide receiver draft. Now, wide receiver came out the winner in this poll. 52% to 42% for quarterback. And other got 6th. Other, I'm assuming, was primarily offensive lineman. So more people than not seems want the quarterback. And by the way, 15,000 votes. Thanks to everybody who chimed in there. That's a huge number. 15,000 votes. Now, at the wide receiver spot, I mentioned Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze. I mentioned coming out of the combine, I spoke to a bunch of wide receiver coaches, and they were all saying Nabers, they would take Nabers over Odunze. Now, that's because he's his explosiveness. And we're talking about, clean prospects, the old Giants style. I think that Odunze would probably be a better fit. But this regime might prioritize that explosiveness that Nabers does have. So I would probably lean in that direction, although I could be convinced either way if it's between Nabers and Odunze. We'll see how that plays out. We got a lot of time before that. As far as free agency, Giants re-sign Isaiah Hodgins, gives him a little depth at wide receiver. He comes back on a 1-year deal, right? Wanted to see what his market was out there. Ultimately came back. Giants didn't want to pay him the full $3 million. Of course, none of that was guaranteed because that's what the restricted tender is. Now comes back, gets some guaranteed money, but at least gives the Giants depth. But at the top of their wide receiver core is Darius Slayton, Jalin Hyatt, Wandale Robinson, and Isaiah Hodgins. That's pretty much what the Giants have right now. 4 wide receivers. They're going to get a wide receiver either early in the draft, first or second round, or via trade, which I'm not ruling out completely, by the way. If they don't get a wide receiver at the top of the draft, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Giants pull off a trade, right? Get a wide receiver maybe in the second round and make a trade. So something to keep an eye on moving forward. Matt Nelson, depth offensive line piece the Giants added. They made a little attempt to re-sign Matt Peart as well. That didn't pan out. He landed in Denver. A couple days later, they signed Matt Nelson. Now, quarterback position they're still looking at. Tre'Davious White's going to come in and visit. Obviously, the injury's there. Huge part of it. Knows the Giants contingent from his Bills days. But they're looking to add a veteran cornerback. At some point, I believe that will happen. So that's something to keep an eye out on for the Giants. With that being said, let's get to my boy Chris Canty. Out to the next one.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we're almost done with free agency here. We're kind of moving on to the draft. We're going to bring in my man, Chris Canty, one of the co-hosts of the morning show on ESPN. Now you're really, each time I talk to you, I feel like you're just becoming bigger and bigger on me. You know, your First Take star. Every time it's a new level for you, Chris.
Oh, man, it's been great. The company has really entrusted me with a lot of different platforms, and I'm just excited to be able to do what I love on the biggest stage that sports media has to offer. So I appreciate all of the kudos, and I'm excited about what the future holds.
How do you swing it? First of all, getting up at 4 a.m. in the morning, and then how do you swing it that occasionally you pop on First Take, you pop on Get Up, it seems like. What's the magic?
Well, the magic is Stephen A. Smith told me to keep a suit on standby at the Seaport. So at all times, I have a couple of different sport coats down at the Seaport studios in case I get the nod from the bullpen, from Get Up, or from First Take. So that's how it goes down. Like Stephen A. basically chastising me on and off air about not being ready. And so he said, if you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. So I just make sure I stay ready and make sure when they call me, that I'm ready to deliver the content. So I that's probably the biggest thing that I've done, the biggest adjustment that I've had to go through.
So you have the same suit that you just pop on every time, or you?
No, see, you got to rotate them, Jordan. You got to rotate them.
I have the emergency one is usually the same one for me most of the time.
Well, that's why I keep multiple suits down there. Like that's I keep multiple suits, multiple shirts.
You got NFL money. I got ESPN money. You know,
there's
a difference. You know what I'm talking about? I heard Bert Scott say he had like 300 suits or something in his closet or something like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's what I made and then there's what Bert Scott made. There's a difference in that too. There's levels to the NFL money too. But man, it's been great, man. It's been great doing the morning show, getting up early. It's a change of lifestyle, but it's been awesome.
Let's go to the football side for a second. I want to bring you in this because you have experience kind of what Saquon's doing, right? Okay, so we know Saquon Barkley. He signs with the Eagles, a division rival. You are a guy who played for the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants, division rivals. What is that like? And is it different now because of social media? Like, what should Saquon kind of expect from that jumping over to the other side?
Well, I'll actually start with what the Giants can expect and what the Eagles can expect. And that's a guy that's going to have a chip on his shoulder every time he sees big blue uniforms. That's what's going to happen. I remember when I left in free agency, it wasn't that I didn't want to stay in Dallas. It's that they didn't want me. They didn't offer me a contract. They didn't even try. Mm. And they just let me walk into free agency unencumbered. And I guess that would be the part that's tough for Saquon to process in this space. Never mind that he's going to a better roster and the best offensive line that he's ever had the privilege of running behind. I just think the fact that you're dealing with being unwanted for seemingly the first time in your football career, no matter what level you played at, you know, high school, college, bro, like mm-hmm. this is the first time Saquon probably feels unwanted. And that's going to lead to a very talented player having a huge chip on his shoulder in 2024.
Did it ever go away for you? Like you still kind of hold that grudge that still piss
yeah,
you off?
Yeah, I tell you what, it went away when we held up the Lombardi Trophy after the 2011 season. I mean, winning the Super Bowl for my hometown team and having the parade down the Canyon of Euros and ending at City Hall, pet rally at MetLife Stadium afterward, that kind of goes away. Like all of that, the chip and the bitterness, it goes away when you accomplish the pinnacle of pro sports. Which is winning a Super Bowl. But I mean, as a Giants fan, selfishly, I don't want Saquon to contribute to any type of success that the Philadelphia Eagles are going to have.
Did you experience the heel turn that Saquon's kind of getting from Giants fans? Did you feel that from Cowboy fans, or is that just much different nowadays?
Sure. Oh, for sure. You definitely got that from Cowboys fans. I mean, I even got that from the Cowboys themselves. The equipment manager didn't send my helmet when he sent all the rest of my gear. You know, most players keep their helmets as keepsakes. And they didn't let me keep mine, so that was always a little bit of something that I had stuck in my craw. It's just like not showing me the level of respect that you would any other player that ends up leaving. And I guess it's because I went to a division rival, and everybody says, "Well, he wasn't that good when he was here," and there's no way that the Cowboys should have paid what the Giants paid for him, and all of these different things. They basically trashed me and what I contributed to the team the first 4 years of my career on my way out of the door. And that lack of appreciation is something that bothers you as a player.
Sounds kind of similar.
It's a very real human emotion. The part that is pretty funny to me is that when Saquon Barkley tells his daughter, who's 5 years old, they're going to Philadelphia, she says, "Does that mean we're going to do more winning now?" It's so innocent, and yet it's so reflective of the state of affairs in the 6 years that Saquon was with the New York Giants.
Yeah, that did not sit well with Giants fans. I will say, I definitely can say that. You could tell that Giants fans, and like, but that's the beauty of kids. Sometimes they just make such honest statements. Sometimes, like, my daughter came home from school one time, and she's like, "Daddy, why did Eric Flowers push you? Did you deserve it?" Like, what? Excuse me? Like, what? She must have been like first or second grade, something like that, like really young. It's just the same kind of thing. You get unfiltered honesty from kids because they just don't know any different. And I guess that's what we got from Saquon's daughter there. More free agency. We'll get to the draft in a second because that's kind of where all the attention is turning. But what do you think of the move? The move to acquire Brian Burns, right? Really strong Pro Bowl edge rusher, and now you're pairing him with Kayvon Thibodeau and Dexter Lawrence to create a strength of the team, quite frankly, that is so far above and beyond any other area. Like that, it's like, okay, we're building around the defensive line, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're building around the lines, period, right? Because it's not just the defensive line, but it's the offensive line. But we'll focus on the Brian Burns trade, and I love that, and what I like to call pre-agency, which is before the actual start of free agency. You see these massive trades for veteran players that teams are not going to retain long-term. And so Brian Burns fell into that category, and I thought it was an outstanding get. I mean, for a second-round pick and a fifth-round pick, you get one of the best young pass rushers in the NFL. Remember, Burns is the player once upon a time that Sean McVay and the LA Rams tried to trade for, and they were offering up as much as 2 first-round draft picks for him.
Yep.
And the Carolina Panthers wouldn't do it. So it just gives you a little bit of insight into the caliber of player that the Giants are getting. And it's certainly someone that's deserving of the $30 million a year that they're paying him. But I like the fact that they're focusing on trying to address the front four. When the Giants' front four is as dominant as this group has the potential to be, Mm-hmm. Usually good things are going to happen. I mean, when we won championships in 2007, 2011, it was a dominant front four, really good offensive line, and good quarterback play. And so I think the Giants are showing you that we're going to get back to an identity that the organization has had success with in the past. And I truly believe if you're building a team that's going to have sustained success, it has to start front to back, inside out. And that's exactly what the Giants are doing by trading for Brian Burns in addition to the other moves in free agency.
Pat, you mentioned it, the elephant in the room. You said good quarterback play you had. The Giants did not get good quarterback play last year from Daniel Jones, you know, for a variety of reasons, not all of his doing, but he now has an injury history. Where do you stand on what the Giants should do at the quarterback position right now?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. It's not a perfect world. So whether it's his fault or not, he has a problem staying healthy. Like, there's only been, what, one season where he stayed fully healthy, and that's when they went to the playoffs and won a playoff game? So, I mean, it just
made him a lot of money.
It made him a lot of money. And God bless him. He hit it at the right time. So congratulations to him. But in terms of what the future holds for the Giants at quarterback, I think that's very much in question. And you have to factor in where you're at in this year's NFL draft, the draft capital that you do have, and then also the current class of quarterbacks that are coming out. I think all of those things are part of the math when considering what to do at quarterback. And then the elephant in the room, you talked about the elephant in the room, like Daniel Jones and when he's getting paid. Like, are you going to get $40 million a year worth of quarterbacking? And if the answer is not, then the New York Giants have to hedge against what Daniel Jones has shown himself to be since he's been with the organization getting drafted in 2019. So I absolutely think that the Giants have to look at quarterback as a position of need, even after the addition and signing free agent Drew Lock. I think they absolutely have to look at it in terms of, like, what are we going to do at quarterback? What do we need to do to improve that room? Because we all know this is a quarterback-driven league, now more so than it ever had been because of the rules. The Giants have got to get serious about figuring out what the long-term solution is at that position.
All right. True. The problem is they pick sixth. We know that the top three teams desperately need a quarterback, right? We're talking about the Chicago Bears. They're, you know, they already made it clear they're drafting a quarterback. The Washington Commanders, they've needed a quarterback forever. Now the New England Patriots at three. They also need a quarterback and a lot of other things. Maybe number three becomes available at some point, but as of now, it's not. So the top three quarterbacks might not be available. The name that comes up now is J.J. McCarthy. He's the next in line. From what I've been told, he's going to be drafted in the top 10. Right? That's a lock. Question is whether it might be four, whether it be six, whether it be eight, whatever. Where do you stand on the idea of J.J. McCarthy? And what did you, because I know when I sat there and watched Michigan play this year, I was never like, wow, that guy's going to be a star quarterback in the NFL. He's a top 10 pick.
Yeah, I mean, I think J.J. McCarthy has traits. Certainly, chief among them being he's a winner, right? Like, he's a winner. Now, when I watch him, he's got an NFL arm, especially when he's throwing the ball in between the numbers in the short, intermediate, and deep zone. The question I have about J.J. McCarthy, can he consistently hit those out-breaking routes? Because that's where arm talent turns out. That's where accuracy turns out. You've got to be able to throw those quick outs. You've also got to be able to throw those deep comebacks. You've got to be able to throw those seven cuts. Can he do that at a high enough level? Can he show the consistency in throwing the ball on those fade routes, those go balls? Can he do that and put it in the right location? I know he's got the arm talent. I know he's got the athleticism. Those are things that will serve him well. They will translate well. Playing for Jim Harbaugh at Michigan will serve him well in terms of being able to play a pro-style offense and a disciplined brand of ball at quarterback. I just wonder, can he consistently be accurate throwing the ball outside of the numbers, particularly on out-breaking routes? That's the one thing that I heard he struggled with at the scouting combine. Now, I know a lot of people were impressed in the overall presentation in Indy, but that would be the one question mark I would have. But here's the great thing about where the Giants are, Jordan. Okay. You already have multiple veteran options in that room that can sit in front of, that can you know, be the bridge to J.J. McCarthy and when he's ready to take over the reins as your starting quarterback. So looking at him as their top draft choice and saying that he might benefit from a red shirt or developmental year for the majority of 2024 isn't necessarily the worst thing when it comes to the program positioning itself for overall success in the future.
How would you handle the situation? Would you like J.J. McCarthy better than a Bo Nix or Michael Penix? Would you say, hey, they got to trade up at all costs? Where do you stand?
Well, see, no. I'm not an all cost guy, right? I mean, okay. if you like him, there's a difference. You know, based on your evaluation, do you like him or do you love him? If you love him,
I'm saying, let's say they love Drake May and he's available at number three. Do you then trade up at all costs?
I mean, I don't know if the New England Patriots are going to trade out because they desperately need a quarterback too.
That's why it's such a tenuous situation. There's so many moving parts, right? It's not just like, oh, which quarterback do you like? Go get him. There's a lot that's not possible for them to do.
You're right, but I think if you do want the fourth best quarterback in this class, whoever you deem that to be, in all likelihood, you're probably going to have to get up inside of the top five. Like, I mean, the general manager for the Arizona Cardinals, Monty Ostafort, already said, we got a neon sign saying we're open for business. It's not blinking because it would hurt my light, hurt my eyes, but we're open for business, the trading out of number four. Well, I mean, the Chargers, Jim Harbaugh, they don't need a quarterback. They've got Justin Herbert. So that's another team in front of the Giants that's open to trading down. And then you've got so many teams behind them that are looking to get up for quarterback. Look at what Minnesota did late last week trading to get an extra first-round draft pick. The Las Vegas Raiders haven't been shy about wanting to upgrade their quarterback room. The Denver Broncos, those are all teams right there sitting outside of the top 10 that are looking for a quarterback. So, I don't know that the Giants can sit pat at number six if they want to get the fourth best quarterback in this class. I think that speaks to the level of players, the level of prospects that we have at that position in 2024.
Yeah. Overall, do you think the Giants are headed in the right direction, or you look at this team as sort of still floundering in the middle of nowhere? Because their roster overall right now, you look at it, you're like, it could be pretty bad this year.
Well, see, Jordan, I don't see it that way. I really don't. I don't look at them as a contender for a division title, but I do look at them as an organization that's on the right track. I like the move that Joe Shane has made. Listen, for what the Giants need, this draft class is going to provide you. I mean, they've got a lot of quarterbacks, and it's not just in the first round, right? You've got a quarterback that could slip into a late first round, second round. Guys like Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix and Spencer Rattler, like those guys are probably going to be day two guys. They have the potential to be day two guys. So it's not necessarily a guy that you got to get in the first round, especially when you have Daniel Jones, who's an incumbent, and really based on his salary and the injury, is going to be locked into being on your team in 2024. You just signed Drew Lock. You got Tommy DeVito. We'll see what happens with him. But you got guys that have started multiple games in the National Football League that can sit in front of whoever you decide you're going to take as the quarterback you want to develop. And I want to be clear on this one thing, Jordan.
Yeah.
If you get a quarterback that's not in the top three in this class, that player, in my opinion, is a developmental prospect. Right? I like Michael Penix Jr. I think he's the fourth best quarterback in this class, but even I think he would benefit from sitting behind some of these other guys and getting a little more seasoning and getting up to speed to what the NFL game is. I think any of those quarterbacks outside of the top three would be better served if somebody else was the week one starter. Not saying they got to sit the entire rookie year, but I would rather them sit the early part of the season, similar to what we saw from Eli Manning in 2004 with Kurt Warner, and then at some point late in the season or in 2025 take over. So if I were the Giants, I'd be looking for that type of value. I don't know that I'd be in a hurry to get up to get J.J. McCarthy, but I would have a plan on taking a quarterback in the early part of this year's draft.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of evidence out there now if you look at it that these guys could benefit from sitting and waiting, right? You look at the Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. I mean, some of the great quarterbacks of these last few generations, Brett
Favre, Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes, yeah. None of those guys really played at all. None of them played at all, right? As a rookie, those four guys.
I think Mahomes played in the last
one game. Yeah,
he last played the game of the rookie season. Yeah.
The 17th game that year he played, right. Mm-hmm. But still, the point's taken. I mean, he didn't really play his rookie year. He sat the bench and watched. So
exactly.
Totally could see that. All right. You said you wanted to put me on the hot seat before we started here. You didn't probably said, okay, we're not going to bring it up exactly. Hit me up. What do you got? The floor is all yours.
But I got to ask you, I'm trying to figure out, like, what happened in the quarterback situation, the acquisition of Drew Lock. That's the one that's a little bit of a head scratcher for me, because the Giants had kind of let it be known that they were evaluating this crop of quarterbacks. You already had Daniel Jones, who's on the roster. You have Tommy DeVito, who started a lot of games for you last year. It just feels like it might be a little bit redundant in bringing in Drew Lock, because is he a bridge quarterback? But if he is a bridge quarterback, you've already got a bridge quarterback. Well, maybe it's because Daniel Jones might not be healthy early in the season. Well, you do have Tommy DeVito still here. So I'm just curious as to the presence of Drew Lock and how that impacts Giants' draft plan, at least early on with that number 6 overall pick.
Yeah, first let's start with the DeVito part. They obviously don't really consider him much of an option, right? That's pretty clear to me. Like, they never really talk about him when they're talking about guys that they want to give, you know, be used as a starter. So let's start there. As for Drew Lock, they had to get a veteran because you got Daniel Jones' injury history. And then what if the draft unfolds in a way where they don't get one of the top quarterbacks? So if you don't sign a veteran contingency plan just in case in free agency, then you're kind of screwed if you don't get the guy in the draft. So they were intent on signing a quarterback. Now, the only reason they paid $5 million for Drew Lock, guaranteed, was because the Seahawks were trying to bring him back. So the two sides were going back and forth, and the only way that they could get basically Drew Lock over, but at least the sweetener that they did, was they said, you know what, we'll guarantee you the $5 million. But think about it. $5 million isn't a ton for a backup quarterback. He's just a, you know, your normal run-of-the-mill backup quarterback. Tyrod Taylor was making more previously.
Yeah.
So it's just sort of contingency, A, if Daniel Jones is injured, and B, if they can't get one of the top quarterbacks in this draft, which I think they realize is a distinct possibility because, as we mentioned before, those top three spots, they don't think are available.
So my next question to you is, if the draft falls the way you want and you get a quarterback early on, what happens to your quarterback room? Are you keeping whoever you take with a top 10 pick this year, Daniel Jones, Andrew Lock, or do you see the organization moving off of one of those guys before the start of the season?
Yeah, I think if you do get one of those guys, you might end up moving on. Like, who was it? The Eagles. Remember the Eagles traded Sam Bradford 1 year? They actually got
first round pick, I believe, right? Teddy Bridgewater got hurt, and there was blood in the water. And Mike Zimmer said, yeah, we had to fork over a first round pick for Sam Bradford. I remember that happened.
Giants aren't getting a first round pick for any of those guys. But
my question would be, if that ends up being the scenario, then who's the quarterback that the Giants are moving off of? It feels like they would be locked in because of the Daniel Jones injury. And so he might not be available early on, which would make it hard for them to move him. So did you sign Drew Lock and guarantee him $5 million only to trade him away?
I think it would be a possibility. Now, obviously, there's a lot of moving pieces to get there. And let's see what happens. We have to see if Daniel Jones is healthy. You have to see if he stays healthy throughout the summer. So that's why I kind of compared it to that Sam Darnold thing, because that was like right before the start of the season, right? So
you would basically
wait and hold it and slow play it and see how everything goes throughout the summer and then make a decision. Let's say your young rookie quarterback is Drake May and you don't think he's anywhere close to playing, then you don't have to worry about it. You basically have him as the third string quarterback, right? And you just have him sit there the whole year. Drew Lock's the backup and Daniel Jones is a starter to start the season. And you go on from there. Now, if it's a guy that maybe is a little closer to playing that you think and you want him to play at some point this year, then maybe you do move on from Drew Lock, or maybe Daniel Jones. I don't know if you can move on from Daniel Jones.
You're not going to be able to get rid of him until
he plays him a little bit. So it would have to be like, basically, we'd have to cut him.
Well, yeah, or our team would just have to be desperate. But I mean, I guess if.
But they're not going to pick up his salary.
Yeah, that's the part. That's the part that's tough.
Coming back from two injuries. See what happened with Daniel Jones. Remember, the two sides fought really hard over that contract. Daniel Jones got his money. The Giants, in return, they got the structure of the deal, in case things went bad. Well, he hurt his neck first, again, for the second time, played poorly, and then tore his knee in the ACL. Like, that's as poorly as it could have gone, right?
Yeah.
So everything changed. Their evaluation of him, it hasn't changed that much. He started and finished four games. Your evaluation that can't change that much. That's just total recency bias. If you change your evaluation of him on four games from start to finish.
Yeah, but then
it's
you
the
have to
injuries.
And that's the thing, Jordan. You have to hedge against that for the future, right? Because it's not only what you think he could be in 2024, but it's also the matter of, well, if this guy is true to form and he's more injury-prone than not, could he sustain an injury while he's playing in 2024? That would guarantee a portion of his salary in 2025.
Yeah.
Like, that's the part that you would have to worry about.
Yeah. That injury guarantee is also going to play into the equation at some point.
No doubt about it.
It will.
No doubt about it.
It will. Like the Russell Wilson thing, right? But they let Russ play a little while. And then once they're okay, their season was over, things were going poorly, you know, we could just sort of, all right, let's just protect our investment here. We don't need to. I think it's $23 million, the Giants, for that injury guarantee for Daniel.
Yeah.
It's a
$23 million injury guarantee. That is absolutely. Whew.
Yeah. Whew. And so if it reaches a point where, okay, the season's going south, we just, you know, it's not worth our risk anymore. Like, yeah, I think that'll play into the equation. There's a lot of moving parts here. A lot of moving parts. But they're looking for a quarterback. You could book that. I mean, aside from just the visual of it, of seeing like Joe Shane at this week at Caleb Williams' pro day, and he'll be watching a lot of these pro days. Like, no, it's legit. They're looking seriously at the quarterback position in this draft. Now, I don't know if they can get it. Depends how it all plays out. But they're looking.
Wow. Wow. I'm just sitting here thinking about the different scenarios and the injury guarantee for 2025 on Daniel Jones, and thinking of a world where the Giants decide to keep him in bubble wrap, use Drew Lock as the bridge quarterback, and have the quarterback that they draft as the second stringer.
That's an option.
I know it seems like it would be unfair to Daniel Jones, but fair is a place where they judge pigs at, and quite frankly, he made his money.
He's getting paid $40 million. I mean, are we really going to – who's going to cry it's not fair to Daniel Jones? He's got 6 years already, 5 years to prove, you know, that he's the unequivocal, you know, future franchise quarterback, and we're still sitting here, you know, contemplating whether that's true. So, I mean, I think we run out of time on the, you know, what's fair for Daniel Jones here.
Okay. But, all right.
In the meantime – you know, his pocketbook's pretty full. He's doing all right.
Yeah, he's good. He's good.
He'll be all right. He won't even need to be waking up and doing morning radio when he's done, can't he?
No, he's good. He's good. He's good.
But I appreciate your time. Good. Always love it. You can catch Chris every morning. What time you start? 6, right?
6 o'clock in the morning.
6 to 10, correct?
That is correct. On ESPN National Radio Network. Also, ESPN2, ESPNU. So check out Unsportsmanlike, Evan Cohen, Michelle Smallman, and yours truly.
You're doing a great job, man. I appreciate your time. Keep it going. I love seeing you on First Take. Just make sure you rotate those suits, I guess, all right?
There you go. There you go. There you go. Thanks, Jordan, for having me.
On to the next one.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That was a fun conversation with Chris Canty. As always, you can find him 6 to 10 a.m. on ESPN Radio National. Unsportsmanlike is the show. Evan Cohen, Michelle Smallman, his two co-hosts. I really enjoyed the show, by the way. I think they have pretty good chemistry, those three. Now, we're going to finish up here with a little quick Jordan on the beat. This is where I tell you what it's like to cover the Giants, work for ESPN, cover the NFL in general. And I'm going to talk about a concept here that I probably bring up pretty much every year. And it's the idea of fake information being put out there during the draft process. And like, oh, Joe Shane masterclass. Like, he's putting out this misinformation. Well, let me say this. honestly. I don't even think these guys need to put out fake information. Draft media, draft Twitter, just the flow of information out there is so crazy. You don't need to put anything out. The Giants have already been connected to Drake May. They love Drake May, which I kind of believe. They love Jaden Daniels. They love J.J. McCarthy. Now, we know they're not in it for Caleb Williams because that's not really possible for to get them. But by the time we're done, they're going to be connected. So it's going to be strongly connected to Bo Nix. They're going to be hot on him, and they're going to be hot on Michael Penix. There, you don't even need misdirection. It's out there. It'll be done for you. There are people that just take the context clues out there and run with it, or they take – I know Connor Hughes has been out there saying the Giants are high on J.J. McCarthy, which I do believe too. I do believe they like J.J. McCarthy. But people then will jump on that. I'm not saying anything about Connor's report, but people will jump on that, take it, run with it, twist it, turn it, upside down, left, right, and all of a sudden it becomes – the Giants are going to do everything to draft J.J. McCarthy because that's how this works. That's how draft media works. So this idea that Joe Shane or Brian Daboll are telling anybody directly, this is the quarterback we like best, we love this guy, to me, that's silly. Really. They're not going to say that to anybody. They're not. Everything you hear out there is second and third hand information, which is fine. And then you put together the clues. But if Joe Shane and Brian Daboll told me, hey, we really love J.J. McCarthy, love that guy, think he's great, I immediately would raise a red flag to me because nobody's going to say that at this point. Nobody's going to tell you, any executive, which quarterback they love. Now, they may give you a breakdown of guys, but they're not going to give you, hey, this is our guy. As a matter of fact, they'll do their best not to say that. Now, you'll take away context clues. You'll talk to people around the league that maybe have talked to Joe Shane or Brian Daboll or people in the Giants organization, you know, executives from other teams, scouts, agents, you know, coaches, not just from other teams, but Giants coaches. Now, there could be a Giants coach who loves a player, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the Giants are going to draft that player. Trust me, that happens all the time. Coaches love specific players. So what I'm doing and what a lot of people are doing, you're taking the second and third hand information, you're putting it all together, and you're giving your best guesstimate of what the team is going to do. Now, you might hear that a team likes a player. Doesn't mean they're going to draft him, though. I know plenty of players the Giants liked over the years that they didn't draft. You know, hey, they could like J.J. McCarthy. They could be really high on J.J. McCarthy, but they might love Bo Nix. They're just not going to say that. Yeah, sure, we really like J.J. He's a good quarterback. He's talented. He's got a lot of skills to work with. They might not be lying either. They just might like and love Bo Nix or Michael Penix better. Who knows? So that's kind of how this ecosystem works. And how these things sort of take on a life of their own. And a lot of it, I think, is people out there giving opinions who I don't think know shit, to be honest with you. And you go search on X and Twitter, and there's a lot of them. I see people all the time, like, I guarantee you this guy talked to nobody near the Giants. And, you know, it gets spread like wildfire. Giants love Jaden Daniels. Oh, I could confirm that. Yeah, okay. Full of shit, some of these people. Now, you know, if you do your homework, you can get good context clues, but that's all this really is. Nobody knows definitively. As we can see, every year when the draft goes down, guys are drafted in places to teams that you never could have seen coming. That's how the NFL draft works. So this idea that Joe Shane's out there leaking false information, to me, is just stupid. Really stupid. All right, that's it for this episode of Breaking Big Blue. As always, like, subscribe, tell your friends. We'll do a lot of fun draft stuff coming up in the next few weeks. Next week, I'm going to try to get Matt Miller. I know he's at the Michigan Pro Day, which took place on Friday. He was there. He was taking it all in. We'll get his opinion on J.J. McCarthy, the Giants' chances of getting him at pick 4 or 3 or 6 or whatever it may be. You're listening to Breaking Big Blue. I'm Jordan Ronan. See you next time.